So this was just kind of, we use state support money to do this. We'll thank Danny Davis and Flying D Farms. Danny's here today. He kind of brought this up originally, and we wanted to do it about a year or so ago, and couldn't ever produce any cotton in Oklahoma. So we finally got enough rain this year that we could get enough cotton to do a study on. So what it turns into is spatial turnout on stripper harvested cotton. So it can seem extremely variable sometimes, just talking about the farm matter content and all that, and kind of hard to predict. And so we wanted to actually quantify it for once, because you get numbers from the gen and you can look and your turnout might be all over the board or it might be consistent either way. We wanted to see basically how fine a resolution can we pick out maybe differences in it. So this is kind of an initial first year study. We're taking a stab in the dark at trying to evaluate this stuff and see if it's worth exploring farther. So versus the same, but I'm gonna throw in a line there on that second point and say that generally I'm going to say that pickers have a more consistent higher lint turnout than stripper harvested cotton. That's just because we're not dealing with the farm matter there. You know, if we get real trashy cotton with a stripper harvester, we're going to have a lower turnout. With a picker, that shouldn't be as big of an issue. So they're going to say it's been observed in certain instances that lint turnout from stripper harvester cotton is inconsistent, not only across a farm but within individual fields. So we're looking at inconsistency there, and we're trying to document it. Current resolution of lint turnout throughout a production field is tied directly to your module, basically. You know, that's the finest we can do on a production field. We're not taking anything any smaller, you know, nothing to research scales or anything. We pack a module, we send the module to the gen, then we get the number back for that individual module number, we know what the turnout was. And it's getting a little better for pickers right now with a round module builder, and, you know, hopefully soon in the future for strippers, we can document that a little smaller. But that's still not maybe as fine as what we might want it or look at coming in. Because you can bring this up, and Danny's not the only one. I talk in front of cotton producers, and they're immediately, you know, talking about how to measure the trash coming in or how to somehow get an estimate of that turnout as it's flowing in the machine, so that if you're trying to use a yield monitor, we can adjust that real time. We can, you know, kind of figure out what's going on. So, you know, they want it as fine as resolution as we can get. And basically what it boils back down to is if we want an accurate yield value for the cotton, we need an accurate turnout for it. You know, if our turnout's extremely variable, we're just estimating yield. We may be estimating it a plus or minus 5%, 10%, you know, who knows, range on it, which I'll let Ed go into that with yield monitors later anyway. But variable lint turnout across an individual field, if the variability is high enough, you know, it can make accurate yield prediction difficult, if not impossible. So that's kind of our justification, you know, initially. We just wanted to answer some questions to see if it was a problem. So we wanted to document spatial turnout of stripper harvested cotton across a production cotton field. So we wanted to step away from the small plot stuff. You know, we wanted to go to an actual field that had some variability in it. You know, this is a dry land produced field. And we would get data from a producer's, you know, cotton stripper. And Danny was extremely patient with us that day. It took us all day to harvest three strips of cotton, three 1,100 foot strips of cotton. So that, we really appreciate him taking the time and letting us kind of document this. And so we just wanted to determine the variability of lint turnout of the harvested cotton and potential effects on predicting yield. So is there any correlation, any relationship there? So harvested cotton December 3rd near Canute, Oklahoma, which is close to Elk City or right off I-40, you know, getting close to Texas if you're not familiar with the area. DPL 0935 B2RF is 40-inch rows, dry land environment. So kind of typical for that area. There are some center pivots and stuff around, but you do see a lot of dry land cotton around there. We just selected three transects kind of at random throughout the field. He left the field for us, and we kind of walked out there. Using a six-row stripper, so three six-row passes basically throughout the field, and that's what we were going to sample. And so this is kind of how we sampled them. Each transect was six rows wide, of course. You know, one pass with a stripper by the sample area was 100 feet long. So A would have been sample area one, you know, B, C, D. So in that 1,100 foot, we just broke it into 100 foot sections. We'd go 100 foot, we would take and dump it, weigh it, so that gives us yield. Pull a slump sample from that and take it and gen that and see what the turnout was from it. So we did that, you know, whatever, 33 times throughout the field. So, like I just said, 100 foot increments is what we segmented the transects into, parallel, and they're approximately 200 foot apart. There was a ditch going through the field, And we could see big variability, you know, where that ditch ran, because it's obvious that ditch kind of held water in that high spot. Cotton would look a lot better there, and on the other sides would be a lot lower, which is exactly what we wanted. We wanted to see if that yield variability could potentially cause, you know, you get more trash in, you get less trash, more leaves, whatever. After each segment was harvested, the stripper was unloaded into a bowl buggy. We had a 10 by 12 foot tarp suspended on four load cells. We just used the Summon Junction digital display. You know, we went pretty simple. We just wanted something we could just hook up that day, plug into an inverter in the truck, write the weights down, you know, get it done and get out of the way. So this is what we do. Basically, we dump it in the bowl buggy. There's nothing you really see there. Where you see Dr. Naveed standing, we just had the Summon Junction and display right here on the side of the bowl buggy. And good old lucky me and one of our undergrads got to stand in the bowl buggy all day with this tarp and catch cotton trash down the back of my shirt and on my head and everything else. So we would spread that tarp out basically and catch the cotton in it, and then we would pull it back in and clip it on this pole that we built to fit in the bowl buggy and weigh it. So there's not really a good way to sample it this way in a production field to be non-invasive. You know, we didn't want to mess with any of Danny's stuff, you know, and, you know, adjust anything of his, where when we left, he was cussing us for 3 weeks that something wasn't working right and all that. So this was the most, or the least invasive way we could think of to do it. So record the weight, pull approximately 25 pound subsample into a trash bag out of the tarp. Each sample before and after ginning and the collected trash was weighed on the scale, that would, you know, just typical gin scale. Samples were processed through, again, an extractor feeder, 16 solid gin stand this time. One stage of solid type lint cleaning, and then, again, you know, we collected trash, sieve weight, clean lint weight are all collected, calculated lint turnout from that. So it's kind of the method. You pull the bags in, you weigh the bags, you take them to the top of the gin stand, you gin them, collect the trash out the side of the box, and then pull your clean lint out of the clean lint slot over there and weigh it all. So then you get all your components of what's coming out of it. So what does it look like? John gave me some cotton on sample number one. I should have deleted that point, but that's an extra high point, I think, just because there was a little bit of cotton that was left over in the lint cleaner that went through. We realized that when it stopped up and we pulled it out. I didn't delete that point, but the rest of it, I guess what I look at there is we got pretty variable yield. This is transect number one. And my yield's kind of, you know, I won't say all over the board, but it's pretty variable considering we just drove an 1,100-foot strip across the field. You know, it's there. Then I look at my lint turnout, and I'm saying that's, you know, on average, and it's a little high, but on average about 37.5% across, you know, across the board right there. Looking at correlations on transect one, lint yield to lint turnout at 0.25. There's a negative correlation to seed cotton yield and lint turnout. And of course, there's a strong relationship between lint yield and seed cotton yield. If not, I'm calculating something wrong or we're losing lint somewhere. So transect two, kind of the same thing again. I'm getting pretty variable yield here, but I'm staying almost doggone consistent with my lint turnout again. I'm seeing very little variation in this. Little bit stronger correlation there. I'm getting about a negative correlation, but about a 0.3 correlation with seed cotton yield and lint turnout this time. But I don't think it's enough to justify anything quite yet. For some reason, we had the lowest yield in transect three, or lowest average yield. But I get a little bit stronger correlations there. And I get a more variable lint turnout. So I may be starting to get a little peek into the window of something that might be going on. You know, I'm getting a pretty variable yield there. And like I said, the average, if you go back and look, you know, and I've got them written down, but if you look, my average on transect two is approximately 2,000 pounds. Same way on transect one, it's approximately 2,000 pounds. And I go over to transect three, and I'm averaging about 1,500 pounds there. So I'm getting lower yield for once. I'm getting a little bit more variable turnout, but it's still ranging, you know, it's a little lower, averaging about 35%. This time I am getting a stronger relationship, about a 0.7 correlation with lint turnout and lint yield this time, and about a 0.5 with seed cotton yield and lint turnout. So for once, maybe I'm seeing a little something, you know, maybe not. And I just said, all right, let's just throw all this together, forget we even did transects, and just kind of look and see what it looks like. Get a pretty tight, narrow band, except for that one point and a couple of lower points there. Pretty tight, narrow band on my lint turnout and a wide scatter in my seed cotton yield. Pulling all the data from the transects together, I'm still getting not quite as good as transect 3. 0.6 correlation with lint yield and lint turnout, basically a 0.4, 0.38, seed cotton yield and lint turnout. So, you know, from this, I didn't get anything that was extremely significant between lint turnout and either seed cotton yield and lint yield for all three transects. Like I said, transect 3 had the highest correlation. Looking at 0.7, there may be something there. 0.5 for seed cotton yield, and I had the lowest average yields. So maybe we didn't do a good enough job varying our yield in that field, and we should have tested some more. You know, maybe that's something that we want to look into, look at lower yield in cotton this time and see if there's actually something going on there. Combination of all data produced a positive relationship between lint turnout and lint yield. So we are getting a relationship there, like I said, about a 0.5. More variability was observed in seed cotton and lint yield than from lint turnout. So, you know, basically yield in general was pretty variable. You know, lint turnout itself was pretty consistent. So, and we'll say the current data we have, we don't have a strong relationship that's significant enough to justify variable lint turnout as a factor in either lint or seed cotton yield from stripper harvested cotton. I think we need to explore maybe those lower yielding cottons a little bit farther and see if there's much of a difference there, if that's where it's coming from, or if, you know, we get high yielding cotton, there's no difference, or if that was just a fluke. You know, this is kind of something that we've been wanting to try and got in a pinch trying to get it done and didn't get as much data as we'd have liked just because of environmental factors. But with that, I've got about a minute and a half. So.
If they were ever going to be variability, something that I've talked with my Uru, I can say this to be it. But the only issue, this is late season, way after killing the bridge, and I think it might be something we look at maybe early harvest.
Do it when it's earlier, and you might get more, you're going to pull more trash and more stuff in before it actually.
Leaf trash and things like that.
It was late harvesting. You think we're looking December 3rd?
The year we had.
And so. I was surprised. I thought we were going to get, looking at the samples we pulled out, I thought we were going to get something a little more variable than what we did, you know, when I was pulling them out of that bull buggy. But
I'm a lot more comfortable with it than I thought I'd
be. Okay. As long as you don't throw anything at me for my, for the data I presented, I'm good. Steve?
Did you happen to notice any difference in the condition in the transects, you know, in terms of the foliation?
Well, the green strips are he's doing like what do you want to call that? Not really interseeding, but so that's wheat, right? You had wheat basically drilled in between the cotton as just kind of like a cover crop in between. Instead of cotton there, it might look like cotton, but it is just wheat strips in there. There was variability. You could see it. You know, you could tell where there's higher yielding and lower yielding, and you could tell that some of it looked a little trashier and a little not. We didn't do an extremely great job this year of documenting it. We just wanted to, first off, just get some numbers on this and see if it was worth exploring further. You know, we wanted to know if, you know, is there variability or not? And if there is, I did send the test off for HBI and to do the, so I can get the AMS marketing stuff for you on it, but I haven't got those results back yet. So, you know, it was so late in the year when I sent everything off and did everything, we're basically crunched for time, so. It was there. There was variability, but I didn't do a good job documenting it in this case. So, George.
I was going to ask if you had a sense for the absolute value of trash that would be accumulated in the sample. Does it stay the same regardless of yield?
No, I don't think so. I think I have trash, but I didn't report that number, and I just didn't. I got too crunched for time to try to sit down and look at that. That may be something that we want to look at some of the trash that we did pull out and see if it's different. But, you know, trash is directly related to lint turnout as you're looking at it, you know, as part of your sample size. So you'd think you would see something in your lint turnout a little bit that may, you know, show up. You say, all right, well, I'm getting real variable here. Let's go back and look at trash or look at trash percentage or something. We didn't test this year. I would have wanted to, but I would like to test it for fractionation too and some other stuff, but Randy didn't want to do that, and John's been swamped this year with getting shut down for 2 weeks and trying to finish his stuff and everything else, so I didn't want to push more stuff on him. But personally, the further this study, I'd like to look down at trash breakdown and see what it is and see if you can pinpoint a particular type of trash potentially that's causing this. You know, is it leaf trash like Danny's talking about, especially if it's early season? Is it more sticks? Is it more something? Or is it nothing? It's just a wide variety of everything. You know, I don't know. I don't have that answer yet. So, Kelly? We didn't in this case. It was just strictly turnout. It was a quick and dirty, let's see if we can get anything, yes or no. So, I would think it would have been pretty uniform, but.
All right. Thank you, Wes.
Yeah, thanks.